conversation. It's a power talk back Friday with Lorraine Jacques White. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to Power Talk. 404-892-2703 is our number. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's turn our attention and our focus to a devastating situation that's happening in our community, and that's suicide. Suicide is now the third leading cause of death among African American males ages 15 to 24 in this country, behind only homicide and accidental injury. And it's interesting, as I talk to people about suicide, I went to health professionals, and many of the young black males that are dying, they are not, I guess families don't want it to be known. It's a stigma attached to saying that someone in the family has committed suicide. I know in my own experience, when in talking with families and counseling families, if it's suicide, they whisper the word even. They don't want anybody to know that that's what happened. But in order to get at what's causing suicide in young people in our community, not that it does not happen in other communities, we've got to face it and face it out in the open and be willing to freely talk about it. So we appreciate today having Chandra Thomas with us from Atlanta Magazine and Gina Smallwood, whose son committed suicide. He was a young, dynamic man, his life full of joy and energy, everybody thought, attending Morehouse College, and he committed suicide. So we know that this show is going to be a help to many people, not only because people are stressed out with relationships, but because of the economy. People, and Christmas is coming, and people, it's known every year people get depressed during the Christmas, the holiday season anyway. But this year it's going to be even worse because people are sitting in their homes not knowing whether or not they're going to be in a home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. So we appreciate these dynamic ladies coming to be with us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Chandra, tell us, how did you become interested in the story, and what was it that motivated you to write about it?
Well, I actually did this story for Atlanta Magazine through my participation in the Rosalind Carter Mental Health Journalism Fellowship. And former First Lady Mrs. Carter has always been on the front lines of mental health. That's kind of been her platform. And they have this program where you're selected across the country. They have applications from across the country, and you're selected to write about mental health. And I had to do my proposal, and I decided I wanted to talk about mental health in the African-American community because I actually had a friend of mine tell me about a young lady who, in fact, had attended Spelman. She was, a graduate, and she had taken her own life, and he was just devastated. It was one of his best friends. And when he told me that story, I said, I need to talk about this because, and it's so funny, since I've talked about it, everybody has come to me with, oh, my roommate did this or my friend did that. And it's like almost like opening a Pandora's box. One of the biggest problems in our community is that there's this myth that black people don't commit suicide, do not. And actually, I wouldn't even change the word in the community. They like to say take their own life. Mm-hmm. Because they say commit sounds like a sin, or or it's something negative.
Well, in our community, people believe that if you commit suicide, you're going straight to hell.
Exactly.
And that's one of the sins, if you will, that in the black community people feel
exactly.
That you cannot be forgiven for, which is so absolutely, totally wrong.
Yeah, because when you look at this, for a person to be in that level of pain where they would consider this. Mm. And so what I found in my research, I talked to a lot of people at the CDC, like Dr. Lee Willis, who did his fellowship on black suicide. First of all, it has increased, especially since the 80s, but this has always been a part of our community. It was covered up. Oh, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. Oh, she drowned. Oh, she overdosed by mistake. Mm-hmm. So that's, the first issue. The other problem, which I highlight in this Atlanta Magazine article, is that black people, particularly black males, don't tend to exhibit the same symptoms So a lot of times we're looking for this distraught person who's in the corner crying and giving away his stuff and saying, I want to be done with life. But black males, because of, you know, being macho and just the culture of being a black male, you won't see them necessarily cry out for help. And that's why Kelvin's story, you know, Ms. Smallwood's son, who's joining us today, was so important to me. And it, like I told people, it was the perfect story in one sense, because this guy was a Morehouse College student, very attractive, you know, very popular. Even in high school, was the homecoming king, and the captain of the football team, had a full scholarship, even had his internship lined up for the summer, and mentor kids on the side. This is like the dream son that you want. And he showed no signs. You know, his mom, you know, who's here today, she was very close to him, talked to him a lot, actually moved to Georgia, bought a house in Georgia so she could spend time with her son to be closer to him while he's in school. So she had two homes and was back and forth. And all of a sudden, he's gone. And then we have Shakir Stewart, the vice president of Def Jam, 2 weeks ago, taking his own life. This is a 34-year-old, you know, on top of the world, you know,
just got
great
Jay-Z's
position.
Job.
Got, yeah, Jay-Z's job, no celebrities, had children, had a child at least, and was engaged. And you're thinking, what happened here? So we need to talk about what's going on, particularly with our young black males.
When we return, we'll be talking with Ms. Gina Smallwood, and she feels comfortable talking about her son's suicide, and maybe she can give us some insights, some clues, some signs to look for with our children to find out why did this happen to such a young man who had so much promise, so much going on at the top of his game. Why is he not here today? 404-892-2703. Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Here's what's happening at News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
To find out what's going on around Atlanta, log on to WAOK.com for your news, talk, community, and entertainment needs. Keep it locked to News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
And that's what's happening at News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Congratulations, Barack Obama.
The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term. But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there.
Feels like America did the right thing.
It's incomprehensible. Even a year ago, I wouldn't have thought this possible, that an African-American man could be elected president of the United States.
I am so proud. I couldn't be no prouder right now. And I wish that my grandmama and my mother was here to see this moment.
The first African-American president of the United States. Congratulations to the people's president, Barack Obama. We're News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Does someone in your family have type 1 diabetes? I'm Dave Gould, and three of my eight children have type 1 diabetes. When my wife and I learned that a simple blood test can detect the type 1 antibodies up to 10 years before symptoms appear, we had all our children tested. Free screening is available at more than 150 medical centers across the country. To find one, call 800-HALT-DM1. That's 800-425-8361. Or visit diabetestrialnet.org.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Elise. The last time you got together with your girlfriends, what did you talk about? Fashion, movies, bad dates? Well, the next time you get together, here's something more important to talk about. It's the connection between cervical cancer and some types of HPV, the human papillomavirus, a virus that causes cervical cancer in thousands of American women each year. And if you're African American, you may be at higher risk. The good news is that cervical cancer can be prevented through screening. I'm talking about it with my girlfriends. Now help someone you care about. Make the connection between cervical cancer and the human papillomavirus. Talk to your doctor about HPV and cervical cancer and visit maketheconnection.org. That's maketheconnection.org. Make the Connection is a public education campaign sponsored by the Cancer Research and Prevention Foundation and the Step Up Women's Network, with support from Merck. That's maketheconnection.org.
When I first decided to go back, I was a little scared because I was older. My mom sat me down and she told me that it's not my job to be the man of the house. Her dream for me is to go back to school and finish what I started. I needed to hear that.
Jared didn't know how to get the money he needed for college.
I found out about the federal student aid program through my English teacher, and she told me, Jared, this is what you need to do. Once I got the form, I filled out the application. I did it myself.
Federal student aid made college and Jared's dreams possible.
When I first had the news that I received money, I ran downstairs and I showed my mother, and she was happy, so she started crying. But when I saw her crying, I started crying.
Need help paying for college? Go to federalstudentaid.ed.gov, an office of the U.S. Department of Education. Start here, go further.
My name is Jared, and this is my story.
There's a silent epidemic affecting approximately 4 million Americans. Hepatitis C, a blood-borne disease that infects the liver, often goes undetected since people with the disease can feel and appear perfectly healthy. Less than 30% of all cases are diagnosed. I'm Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr. You may not know if you're infected with hepatitis C, transmitted primarily through direct exposure to infected blood, perhaps by a needle, or even through piercings or tattoos. Others at risk may include people who have had blood transfusions prior to 1992. Symptoms vary, but are most commonly fatigue and depression. Liver failure and even death may occur in 20% of chronic cases. There's no vaccine available, but there are treatments effective in over half of the patients treated. Hepatitis C is a devastating disease that affects people from all walks of life, so it is important to get the facts and understand how this illness works. If you believe you're at risk or you'd like more information, please call the American Liver Foundation at 800-GO-LIVER or visit liverfoundation.org.
When I first decided to go back, I was a little scared because I was older.
Jared didn't know how to get the money he needed for college. Then he found out about federal student aid.
When I first had the news that I received money, I ran downstairs and I showed my mother, and she was happy, so she started crying.
Need help paying for college? Go to federalstudentaid.ed.gov. Start here, go further.
My name is Jared, and this is my story.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's time to talk. It's Power Talk. Yes, the most electrifying conversation in the country.
By the way, I don't know how you can make us any better than we are every day. You put a smile on my face. The show out of this world. Diva, daytime, Lorraine Jock White. Oh, it's on.
We provide the knowledge. You gain the power. Power Talk with Lorraine Jock White on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Informative, engaging, controversial conversation. It's a Power Talk Back Friday with Lorraine Jock White. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to Power Talk, 404-892-2703. We are talking with Chandra Thomas from Atlanta Magazine and also Gina Smallwood, whose wonderful young son on top of the world committed suicide. Gina, thank you so much for coming to be with us today.
Thank you.
Gina, when did this happen?
This happened February 23rd, 2008, this year.
Now, were you concerned that your son was depressed, or had you noticed a change in his behavior or eating habits or in his appearance?
No concerns, no changes.
Nothing?
Nothing. Kelvin was a full academic scholar at Morehouse with a 4.0 GPA. He had just received an internship for the summer at Georgetown University, so he was excited about that. He was also excited about his motorcycle that his father had purchased for him for his 20th birthday, and was planning to return to D.C. March 7th for spring break to join all of his friends from all over the country coming back home for spring break to celebrate his 20th birthday. I did accounting work in D.C., so I drove to D.C. that Saturday, February 23rd, and he had called me that morning to say he loved me, which was not out of the ordinary, because whenever we traveled, we were in contact with each other. So I, you know, went to D.C., and around 5:30 that evening, I was in Richmond, and I love to take photos of the sunrise and the sunset. Mm-hmm. And this particular sunset, God whispered, like, you just need to see this one. You don't need to photograph it. And it was absolutely beautiful with different colors of, like, magenta, oranges, and purples, and yellows, and absolutely beautiful. And when I saw it, I had like a gush feeling, like a release, like I had just birthed a child. And I was like, wow, that was really powerful. And at that moment, I was like, well, I haven't heard from Kelvin. And it was 5:30 in the evening. And I had talked to him at 9:50 that morning. So I called him. And he didn't answer the phone, which, you know, wasn't out of the ordinary. And then 2 hours later, my phone rings, and it's his girlfriend's phone. So I'm thinking maybe his phone had died, so he's using her phone. And she calls me to tell me that they had had an argument and that she was worried. Well, everything went through my head, like, worried about what? Like, you know, why would you be worried? And she's like, because we had this argument or whatever. So I said, well, he's probably just at the house chilling and, you know, like he loves to read and, you know, just doing his thing. So I called and left a message this particular time, and he didn't return my call. I still wasn't worried, and I just drove to D.C., got there about 8:30, and then about 11 o'clock that evening, took my shower and laid down because I was exhausted from the 13-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And when he didn't call, I started to worry, but I still wasn't worried because his life was vibrant. He was excited about everything.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, had even needed his car to be repaired. So I found a mechanic to do that. And he was supposed to, you know, take care of that on Saturday and had other plans because he mentored with 100 black men on Saturday. So I still, you know, wasn't worried. But usually I can fall asleep within 30 seconds. And as exhausted as I was, I still couldn't fall asleep, but didn't know exactly what was going on. And I called again. He still didn't answer. And then the girlfriend calls about a little after midnight to say that she's at my house in Georgia and that the front door was open. And I was like, the front door is open? Like, that's totally off because we, you know, lock up, alarm, and mm-hmm. everything else and secure the house. So I thought that was strange. And then she walked towards my bedroom, and my bedroom door, which I keep locked, was kicked in, had been kicked in. So I was like, what is going on now? I'm, you know, panicking, and I'm, you know, calling relatives, like, I need to get a caravan, we need to drive back to Georgia, you know, just like, I need to get to Georgia, what is going on? So I asked her when she saw that the bedroom door was kicked in, because I have a .40 caliber, and I usually carry my .40 caliber when I'm traveling to and from D.C. on 85,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes I travel at night, and it's for my safety, and 30 miles from leaving Atlanta that Saturday, I realized I didn't have my gun with me, but I didn't, you know, worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's, you know, secure, it's safe at home. And at that point, when she said the bedroom door had been kicked in, I asked her to go to where I keep my gun, not letting her know that there was a gun there, but just asking her to reach into this pouch that was at my headboard, and there was nothing in it. And that's when I just was like, like, what is he doing with the gun? Or who has the gun? Or, you know, just totally, like, didn't know exactly what to do except that I needed to get back to Atlanta and figure out what was what. So I asked her to call the police because then I informed her that my gun was in that pouch.
And so he was not in the house?
He wasn't in the house. And she had called, you know, around the house. She went into the basement but was afraid to go into the two bedrooms upstairs, which then I told her to leave the house. We would get, you know, the police there and everything else. And my cousin in D.C. is like, don't worry about it. He's just, I said, no, if Kelvin has that gun, then it's not a toy. We know the responsibility of what a gun is supposed to be used for. And I just couldn't think of maybe someone had, you know, gotten to the house or what was going on at that point since she couldn't find him. So I was still like,
so did the police
hopeful.
Come?
So the police did come, and they went through the house, and the girlfriend, I'm on the phone with her the entire time, listening to how, you know, where the police are in my house at that point. And then she tells me that they have come outside, that they haven't come over to her. And I told her as soon as they come over to her to make sure that she handed me the phone so that I could hear what was going on. And they went to the back of the house, and that's where they found him. And he had shot himself. It was on the top step of my deck.
Now, and looking back on the situation, do you have an idea why? Was it the argument, the relationship, and it's a
I think that the relationship had some really, really challenging parts, and I think that this was really like his first love. And
she wanted to break it off with him?
She was graduating, and there were things that she was doing that weren't very healthy things. And I think he took those things personally. So after his death, you know, I've talked to his father, I've talked to his friends, and just trying to put together what actually, you know, had been occurring for the last, like, 6 weeks of his life. And there were things that he had shared with me that he didn't share with his father. There were things with his father he didn't share with me, and things that he had shared with his friends that he didn't share with either of us. So now it tells the story of where his mental state really was. And because he was such a brilliant, down-to-earth, looking out for everybody, he couldn't put together that sometimes in life things aren't perfect.
Right.
And that in love sometimes, too, that you can't paint a beautiful picture of something that isn't. And that's what it was like. He didn't share with any of us everything that was going on, because we would have been like, you need to get out of this situation. It's a very unhealthy situation. And he took it to heart. And that's the type of kid he was. And that's what, why I'm here today, because I can go into talking about it knowing that no one and throughout the community failed him, because there were things that we didn't know and things we didn't know about suicide until now. And I'm here to really talk about some of the myths, because if Kelvin was susceptible to it, then any black male is susceptible to it.
We're News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK, Atlanta.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Easing winds offer a break to crews battling large wildfires in four Southern California counties. Dogs are searching the rubble of a mobile home park that was wiped out. Not everyone in Congress supports a government bailout of the auto industry. Case in point, Arizona Republican Senator John Kyle.
The recession that we're in is going to cause job losses throughout our economy. It's not limited to the auto industry, and you have to say, well, you know, if you're going to bail out one industry, then why not bail out others?
But Michigan Democratic Senator Carl Levin argues the industry needs immediate help. Space Shuttle Endeavour is expected to dock at the International Space Station in just over an hour. Everyone's favorite secret agent is back.
Feingold.
The latest James Bond flick, Quantum of Solace, earned $70 million in its first weekend out. It's good to be from Burlington, Vermont. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has dubbed it the healthiest city in America. This is CNN Radio. A new security pact is approved by the Iraqi cabinet. It sets a U.S. troop withdrawal deadline for the end of 2011. Major General Mark Zamzo says key security partnerships are being formed.
The partnership between the Awakening members, the Sons of Iraq, and the government of Iraq is fundamental to maintaining the remarkable security gains we have seen now and will see in the future.
The deal still needs to be voted on by the Iraqi parliament. A tsunami warning has been lifted in the aftermath of a powerful earthquake off Indonesia. Residents in at least one area were evacuated as a precaution. There are no reports of casualties or damage following the magnitude 7.5 quake. Rudy Giuliani hints his political career might not be finished. The former New York City mayor said today, during a speech in Dubai, he would consider running for governor, and Giuliani isn't ruling out a second try at the presidency either. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Welcome, Ruby Stutter. And for Chief Davis.
In Ain't Misbehaving.
In Misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you.
November 18th to the 23rd at the Fox Theater. Tickets on sale at all Ticketmaster outlets. Keep listening for your chance to win from News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Tonight, when your daughter's been kidnapped, anything goes. These are civilians.
To get my daughter back, I will kill everybody in this room.
New unit, CBS Tonight.
My decision to graduate early came after my mother got sick. She wasn't able to take care of me. My dad wasn't there to take care of me, so I needed a way to take care of myself. And by going to college, I knew that I could further my education and better my career choices.
Jennifer didn't know how to get the money she needed for college.
My guidance counselor told me about the Federal Student Aid Program, and she's the one who helped me fill out the application and find all the information that I needed. It was a feeling of relief. It was a feeling of I don't have to continue to look for a way to go to school.
Federal Student Aid made college and Jennifer's dreams possible.
I would have never been able to graduate at 16 and go to college without the federal student aid program.
Need help paying for college? Go to federalstudentaid.ed.gov, an office of the U.S. Department of Education. Start here, go further.
My name is Jennifer, and this is my story.
What would you give?
What would you give for our babies?
What would it take for you to show them how much they're worth? Did you know that thousands of premature babies die every year as a result of not getting their full 9 months?
I need to know, am I worth it?
Hi, I'm Heather Headley. Join me in the March of Dimes in the fight to reduce premature births in our communities. Join us. Together, we can make the research and education possible to help more women get their 9 months. Visit marchofdimes.com today. Marchofdimes.com. Saving our babies. There's nothing worth it in the world.
If someone in your family has type 1 diabetes, I urge you to get screened. I'm Dave Gould, and three of my eight children have the disease. So when my wife and I learned that a simple blood test can detect the antibodies for type 1 diabetes up to 10 years before symptoms appear, we had all our children tested. That's how we learned that our 3-year-old son is at risk. Now he's in a research study to test whether oral insulin can prevent or delay type 1 diabetes. It's our hope this vital research will help other parents and children in the future. Free screenings and studies are available at more than 150 medical centers across the country. To find a participating medical center or to find out more about type 1 diabetes TrialNet studies, call 1-800-HALT-DM1. That's 1-800-425-8361. Or visit www.diabetestrialnet.org.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
The frequency, 1380 AM. The call letters, WAOK. The program is Power Talk, and your hostess, Lorraine Jock White. We provide the knowledge, you gain the power. Power Talk with Lorraine Jacques White on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's Power Talk, and we welcome to the studio this morning Gina Smallwood. Her son, her young son, committed suicide, and she is now on a mission to educate the world about it. Also, Chandra Chalk Thomas from Atlanta Magazine. Let's take a call from a first-time caller, Beulah.
Hello.
Hi, Beulah.
Hey, I listen to you every morning. Plus, I'm a member of Mount Efron, and I work at the library. Okay, the young lady, she mentioned about my cousin daughter, Estelma.
Oh, that
is my cousin daughter that killed herself at Estelma.
Okay.
And her mom has moved here. She's an educator. Mm-hmm. She's a member of Mount Efron. She's a member of Ebenezer, but I don't talk to her about it, okay? We don't talk about it, okay? Mm-hmm. And my husband, he killed himself Mother Day, May 1998, okay? On a Mother Day after about 4 o'clock, and he had problem with prostate cancer, okay? And then he was taking all his, he took the medicine or whatever he had been, and like to talk about it, but he found out it had came back all over, it was cancer spread over his body.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't talk about it with anyone. He had this bus driver who was close, so he didn't talk about it to me, his mama, anybody. So mm-hmm. I had been married 30 years and 4 months. Okay, so before he killed himself, he had a nephew who killed himself. Okay, last year, his other sister's son, he was about 21 or 22 years old. He was living. He got his mother gone and shot himself on his mother's beat.
This is all of these suicides
in this family. But what I'm saying, I don't talk about it with people. I work at the library. But I pray a lot about it because I've been married 30 years and 4 months. But I do listen to everything. I read books about it, and I gave my nephew some books about prostate cancer. But what I was saying, I love to hear when people are getting other people involved and watch for some signs, because I didn't have no sign about my husband, 59 years old, when he was killing himself. But he didn't talk about killing himself. He was very, very uptight about how his lifestyle was, how he was, about cleanliness, he was touched about everything.
Well, you know, you bring about an important point that sometimes, have there been other people in your family that committed suicide?
No.
Nobody?
Nobody.
Nobody with mental issues?
Well, I would say that most people have mental issues.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's the thing of looking at mental issues or mental illness and mental health, and that to say that, you know, that everyone in my family is mentally healthy would be a wonderful thing, but I don't think that that exists in this world.
Another thing, Lorraine, I interviewed Dr. David Satcher for this article in Atlanta Magazine, and just for your, you know, listeners, you can purchase this copy of the November issue, but also you can visit AtlantaMagazine.com and you can see the story. But he emphasized, one of the main things he emphasized, Dr. David Satcher at Morehouse School of Medicine, is that 80 to 90% of people who take their own lives actually have an undiagnosed mental illness. Mm. So, and you know, and there's going to be degrees of severity. Some people are going to be extreme where it's very obvious, and some people are going to have a mild case, because the reality is many people have arguments. I actually interviewed Dara Smith, who lives in Southwest Atlanta, and for those who, you know, want to look her up on the internet, she's the co-founder of the National Organization for People of Color Against Suicide, and her son actually took his own life, and he was just very down, and he actually did show a lot of signs. She just didn't know that they were signs. And then I also talked to a woman named Diane Petro. They do like a suicide awareness quilt, kind of like they do with the AIDS quilt, where they do the faces and the stories. And her daughter was a high school student, and she had always been depressed, but they just never thought it would go that far. So, you know, it's just very important that you realize there's no picture perfect example. There's some people that's going to demonstrate obvious signs, and then there's going to be people who you won't know. And I think what Gina has really emphasized in our conversations is, if you know, signs are good, you can go on the internet just like anyone and look it up, but talk to your family members, talk to your kids about it, so that they are aware that this is a risk that they face.
Yes.
Gina, what would you like to say to parents with their children? You were saying during the break that had you now, you would wish that you would have maybe pressed your son or asked him, you know, school is fine, 4.0 student, you're on the top of your game, but how are you really feeling?
How am I really feeling? Well, I'm a little moved to know that suicide is such an epidemic, and that it's so silent, and that I went straight into it needs the same light that breast cancer does, that AIDS does, that all the other awareness, because as a steward to my son, I protected him from everything that I knew about. Suicide, I didn't know about. So I didn't know that it was silent. I didn't know that it was happening in an epidemic proportion, that it was the second leading cause of death for college students. So while he was going to Morehouse, I was more concerned about the neighborhood where Morehouse was, mm-hmm. and his safety of, you
yes.
know, whether he walked to the subway, whether, you know, he would be a victim of homicide, because that's something that we talk about. It's something that's publicized. I was also concerned when he would drive to and from Georgia to D.C. and his safety in an automobile. Even when he became sexually active, are you wearing condoms? Are you, you know, and keeping that in his psyche. So knowing that suicide, that it can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone in different socioeconomic levels or ethnicities, and that the age level for our males, 15 through 24, that it's happening at the third leading cause of death, made me start to say we have to start talking about it. We have to talk to our youth and say, you are susceptible to suicide. This is a reality. It's happening every 100 minutes to a youth. And because of it being a reality, and because of it being silent, and because you may not see signs, then I, as a parent, have to let you know that I know that it's a reality. It could be a reality. And just because I'm mentioning that it could be a reality doesn't mean I'm prompting you to think about it. Because if you're thinking about it, you're already thinking about it, but I want you to know that it's not okay. That whatever state you're feeling that's a mental issue, that there are ways to deal with that mental issue. There's talk therapy. It could be, you know, that there's a chemical imbalance. It could be your diet. It could be all of these things, but that suicide is not healthy. It's mm-hmm. one thought away. It, you know, destructs families. It destructs communities, and that we are here, you know, to live and that to die. So even with looking at one of the really major myths is that only depressed children are victims of suicide. That is a myth. And that some kids can just feel bummed out for one or two things, mm-hmm. or some adults may feel bummed out, like the woman who just called about her husband, you know, having prostate cancer. Well, when you're looking at death like that, then people make different options, or if they're going through mm-hmm. certain pains, and there are some suicides that are impulsive suicides. So it's not where the person has been depressed for a long period of time, and they just, you know, have been planning this out, that it just happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we return, we'll give you some organizations that are available so that if you have a need to call them, you certainly can. And we thank Chandra so very much for bringing this article to our awareness. Again, it is in the November issue of Atlanta Magazine. And we welcome Gina and Chandra for being with us today. And we'll find out some organizations that will be helpful to everybody in the community to know. And it is no shame. It is not a stigma at all that should be attached to someone committing suicide. There are a lot of people that commit suicide, but they just don't label it that because families are just devastated. But there's no reason to be devastated. It's to be like Gina and to find a cause and a cure. We're News and Talk 1380, WAOK. Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Welcome, Ruben Studdard. For she is in a misbehaving.
In misbehaving, I'm saving my life for you.
November 18th to the 23rd at the Fox Theater. Tickets on sale at all Ticketmaster outlets. Keep listening for your chance to win from News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's officially fall, and B&K Soup City is the place to shop and save for all your fall and winter clothing needs. At B&K Soup City, we want your dollar to go even farther this year. So B&K Soup City is offering suede leather jackets at just $29.99 and casual jackets from just $19.99. Just in, new three-piece suits by TV Harvey starting at just $99.99. All new fashion blazers have just arrived. Also just in, new suits by AC Green, Steve Harvey, Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, Sean John Fubu, Michael Kors, Joseph Abboud, Pino Baldini, and more at the lowest prices in the country. And don't forget our famous Red Dot Sale, where you can get one suit, one shirt, one tie, and one pair of shoes for just $99.99. Visit today any one of our five locations. B&K across from Green Bar Mall, B&K Soup City on Ellsworth Industrial Boulevard, B&K Soup City on Venture Drive in the Santa Fe Shopping Center in Duluth, B&K Soup City on Memorial Drive, exit 41 on 285, and the all-new B&K Soup City on Mount Zion Road in Morrow. Visit us online at www.dksoupcity.com for more information.
Stanley's wife experienced a serious mental illness. They argued,
"You need to take your medicine, or you need to go for a walk with me," or when Susan doesn't want to do that. It's like, "But you need to do it. The doctor said to do it."
Stanley learned that Susan had to make her own moves.
I can encourage her. I can help her discern what is needful. I can't do it for her.
Be supportive of others as they learn this delicate balance. A message from the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media. What would you give for our babies? What would it take for you to show them how much they're worth? Did you know that thousands of premature babies die every year as a result of not getting their full 9 months? I'm Heather Headley. Join me in the March of Dimes in the fight to reduce premature births in our communities. Join us. Together, we can make the research and education possible to help more women get their 9 months. Visit marchofdimes.com today. Marchofdimes.com. Saving our babies. There's nothing more worth it in the world.
Did you know that nearly one-third of the country's 47 million uninsured Americans are eligible for government health coverage, but just not signed up? Are you eligible for government health coverage? Call the U.S. Uninsured Helpline and find out. They may be able to match you up with lesser-known government health programs that are provided at no cost or at a low cost. So if you're uninsured, call the U.S. Uninsured Helpline at 1-800-234-1317. That's 1-800-234-1317.
When I first decided to go back, I was a little scared because I was older.
Jared didn't know how to get the money he needed for college. Then he found out about federal student aid.
When I first had the news that I received money, I ran downstairs and I showed my mother, and she was happy, so she started crying.
Need help paying for college? Go to federalstudentaid.ed.gov. Start here, go further.
My name is Jared, and this is my story.
African American women under 55 represent over 36% of patients with triple negative breast cancer, an aggressive form of breast cancer that is more prevalent among young African American women. While we search for a cure, take a frontline defense, perform self-breast exams monthly, and contact your doctor if you notice any changes. To learn more about triple negative breast cancer, visit www.triplepink.org.
I'm Jason Taylor, defensive end for the Miami Dolphins, a proud supporter of the ASPCA, and pet parent to Bear, my Akita. Nothing compares to the love and loyalty of a pet, and Bear's a big part of my team. That's why I can't sit on the sidelines knowing that every day, innocent animals are abused, beaten, and neglected. And today, we need you to get into the game. So come on, join the team and help the ASPCA put an end to animal cruelty. Visit fightcruelty.org.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's time to talk. It's Power Talk. Yes, the most electrifying conversation in the country.
Your show is the bright spot of the day, and you enlighten us instead of tearing us to pieces all the time.
We provide the knowledge. You gain the power. Power Talk with Lorraine Jacques White on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Somber news in the world of hip-hop. Friends, family, and colleagues are still reeling at the loss over the weekend of Def Jam Executive Vice President Shakir Stewart. Stewart was pronounced dead at a Marietta, Georgia hospital on Saturday. Atlanta police have determined that he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The 34-year-old Oakland native had replaced Jay-Z as the head of Def Jam, signing artists like Rick Ross and Young Jeezy. His family released a statement on Sunday saying, quote, "Over the past several weeks, Shakir's behavior was inconsistent with the man we all know and love. As much as we all tried to help him, Shakir was in deep pain and largely suffering in silence. Please remember Shakir for who he was, a wonderful father, partner, son, and friend." Def Jam also released a statement calling Stewart is, quote, "an amazing man in every sense of the word. Our hearts and prayers go out to his family at this very difficult time."
Informative, engaging, controversial conversation. It's a Power Talk Back Friday with Lorraine Jacques White. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Sheila, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. White. I just wanted to, first of all, tell you thank you so much for everything you do for us in the community. And I'm a little emotional, so please bear with me.
Okay. What's wrong, Sheila?
This is the first time in 4 years I've been able to talk.
Just take your time. We'll wait. We'll be patient.
My little brother is 25. He committed suicide. And my mom and my brother and my sister was taken to the hospital because he had been showing signs of his odd behavior. And on their way, he jumped out of the car and jumped off of the bridge in front of all of them. And I was just glad to hear you all talk about this because this is so real in our community and with our young black men. And we need to talk about it more. And people don't need to be ashamed of it. I tell it to anybody who's willing to listen because I think our young men are suffering. And I think one way, other than suicide, another form of suicide that they're acting it out is by going to jail, by some of the things that they're out here doing. And I just wanted to say that. I've listened to you every single day, even before you came on in the morning. But you come up with topics every day, and a lot of times I want to call. But today, I just wanted to call just to say that. And evidently, I just needed to get this out, because it happened 4 years ago, and I just haven't been able to talk about it like this. I'll tell people about it, just so they'll know. But as far as, I don't know. But it's something, when she said it devastates families, it does. It's something that you'll never go away.
Thank you for calling so much.
Now, Sheila, sweetheart, were you aware that he was depressed?
Nobody in my family was, but like she said, the signs were there. I live here in Atlanta, and my family live in another state. But he lived with my mom, and she could see it. But what could she do? I mean, she didn't know what to do. She just thought it was he was angry. He would have outbursts of anger, and then he would be fine. And then he would stay to himself a lot, and then he would be fine. And, you know, it's just, we think the straw that broke the camel's back was his relationship with his girlfriend of 7 years. They broke up. And when they broke up, she got a new boyfriend, and she became pregnant. And we just think, you know, there was no note left, so we don't know. And that's another thing that's so painful, is that you can go your whole life thinking and wondering every day, or any little thing will trigger it. You know, I wonder, was it that? Or you just don't know. But I think the signs were there. And if you listen to their friends, if you listen to people that they're around, after he passed, you know, his friends got to talking, and really all the signs were there. But of course, if we don't believe that mental illness is real, and if we don't believe that people are out here suffering mentally and emotionally, then you won't see it, or you won't reach out. And 9 times out of 10, they're not really going to reach out, not consciously. I think they do, but it's unconscious.
Well, you know, Sheila, I pray that you and your family are not blaming yourselves, because you just, had you known, you would have done something to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't blame yourselves. And, you know, I am glad that you are talking today, because the way we heal from emotional pain is to begin to talk about it and to tell your story over and over and over again. And every time you tell it, you will be healed. It's a process of healing all the time. You know, it's like sometimes if we cut our hands or our arms, and you know, that pus gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Sheila, the only way, when pus gets in a wound, the only way it will heal is if you go to the doctor and they do what is called, they lance it, or they drain all of that pus out of that wound on your hand or your arm. Well, when we are hurting emotionally because we lost someone who has died, or any loss of a job, loss of a home, loss of a love in a relationship, the way you get the pus out of that is to talk about it.
I agree.
And the more you talk, the more that pus drains out of the pain, and eventually it does get better.
Dr. White, I feel better just calling, and I really do. I know I'm still emotional, but I do feel better just to get it out, because I just want people to know, and it is okay, especially for us to say that mental illness is real. And until we admit that among ourselves in the Black community, I tell you, we've got a long way to go. We really, really do.
Gina, what would you like to say to Sheila?
I would like to say thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be talking about it. I talk about it. I don't care how uncomfortable people feel about it. It's sometimes things have to be uncomfortable before they're changed. And I'm glad that I'm talking about it so that you can talk about it. And the more of us that are talking about it, the more light that'll go behind it, and the more that we'll be able to take care of this and see the statistics change. Because every time I see a baby, I say, I don't want that reality for that child, the same reality that my child is facing and all the children of today. And that as long as I have a voice, it will be talked about.
Sean, what would you like to say to Sheila?
Well, first of all, I thank you, because this is why, you know, Gina and I have really been pushing to get this out. Because as I said earlier, when you start talking about it, then everybody has a story. But it's not something, and I even talked about it last night at a cocktail party, and three people, my roommate, my friend did this, my brother. But she brought up, Sheila, thank you for bringing this up, as I mentioned before, Black males in particular don't always exhibit, you know, obvious signs. But another phenomenon that they discuss in the mental health community is death by cop. And I know we hear a lot of these cases of an erratic acting Black male who knows that he's going to be a target, acting very strangely, and then the cops shoot them down. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't realize that they want to get killed.
Yes.
They know who they are. They know how they will be responded to.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel like they have the courage to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out and do something. We had a lot of cases, you know, the DeKalb situation where you had a lot of these one cop, one guy kind of running. And that's something we don't look at. And like she mentioned, a lot of people fall into crime. A young man that I knew who was had life without parole, he said he lost his mother, and he just acted, you know, he just started doing things, and he actually ended up doing an armed robbery and got life without parole. So we don't even realize a lot of these people are committing crimes and doing things because they're just acting out.
And Dr. White, to talk about something is a sign of love.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And if we could just hold on to love, we can get through a lot of...
Sheila, do you have somebody that you can talk to? Sheila, I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to you, okay? Sheila? Sheila?
I'm here.
Don't hang up. Okay, hold on. Don't hang up.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Sherry. Firefighters battling a series of blazes in Southern California get some relief in the form of lighter winds. Los Angeles Deputy Police Chief Michael Moore says commuters are also catching a break.
The freeway system here in Southern California, in particular to the San Fernando Valley, and the I-5, 210, and 14 freeways are all open and will remain open at this point. There's no forecast of closures.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vowed to help the victims.
We always have enough money for emergencies. We keep a certain amount of money aside to reserve exactly for emergencies.
Trained dogs are searching for the rubble of a mobile home park that was destroyed. And investigators now say a blaze that's wiped out more than 200 homes in Santa Barbara County was caused by humans. A federal bailout of the auto industry is hardly a done deal. Senate Republicans like John Kyle of Arizona are opposed.
I don't think another $25 billion for the auto industry is called for, especially at this time. The question is, first of all, how you pay for it. You got to take that money from working Americans and give it to the auto companies who don't have any particular plan, it seems to me, for changing the way they do business.
The matter could come up in this week's post-election session of Congress. In about an hour, the space shuttle Endeavour is expected to dock at the International Space Station. Engineers are still looking at images from Friday's launch. They want to make sure there's no damage to the ship, since at least two pieces of debris were spotted after liftoff. No one's heard after an emergency landing at Philadelphia International Airport Sunday morning. A U.S. Airways Express flight had to land without its nose landing gear, which didn't deploy. 007 returns.
Taxi. When is the next flight to London?
Tomorrow morning.
The new James Bond film, Quantum of Solace, rakes in $70 million in just its first weekend out. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
I ain't got no gun to get to, but honey, my bills are all behind. Got to stay two steps ahead of the money, because I want everything on time.
Here every day from noon to 2 o'clock, we tell you how you can get that money, your money, so you can get that bill collector off your back, stop running from the repo man, get that mortgage taken care of. We are here to help you every day from noon to 2 o'clock, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Healthy lips should never go naked. So what are you going to wear? How about ChapStick 100% Natural? It's the all-natural way to keep us feeling healthy. And it's like so comfortably smooth. Or why not try a new ChapStick Pure Shimmer? Only ChapStick with shimmering highlights. Keep lips are beautiful, radiant and shine every time you put it on. So if you want lips to look and feel healthy, never let your lips go naked. Always wear ChapStick.
Sammy's wife experienced a serious mental illness. They argued.
You need to take your medicine, or you need to go for a walk with me, or when Susan doesn't want to do that. It's like, but you need to do it. The doctor said to do it.
Stanley learned that Susan had to make her own moves.
I can encourage her. I can help her discern what is needful. I can't do it for her.
Be supportive of others as they learn this delicate balance. A message from the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Jock White, and you're listening to the best of Power Talk on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. This is a pre-recorded show, so please hold all phone calls and enjoy the show on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
It's time to talk. It's Power Talk. Yes, the most electrifying conversation in the country.
Your show is the bright spot of the day, and you enlighten us instead of tearing us to pieces all the time.
We provide the knowledge. You gain the power. Power Talk with Lorraine Jacques White on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News in the world of hip-hop. Friends, family, and colleagues are still reeling at the loss over the weekend of Def Jam Executive Vice President Shakir Stewart. Stewart was pronounced dead at a Marietta, Georgia hospital on Saturday. Atlanta police have determined that he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The 34-year-old Oakland native had replaced Jay-Z as the head of Def Jam, signing artists like Rick Ross and Young Jeezy. His family released a statement on Sunday saying, quote, "Over the past several weeks, Shakir's behavior was inconsistent with the man we all know and love. As much as we all tried to help him, Shakir was in deep pain and largely suffering in silence. Please remember Shakir for who he was, a wonderful father, partner, son, and friend." Def Jam also released a statement recalling Stewart as, quote, "an amazing man in every sense of the word. Our hearts and prayers go out to his family at this very difficult time."
Informative, engaging, controversial conversation. It's a Power Talk Back. Friday with Lorraine Jacques White. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Steve, good morning. Dr. White, I just wanted to, first of all, tell you thank you so much for everything you do for us in the community, and I'm a little emotional, so please bear with me, okay?
What's wrong, Sheila?
This is the first time in 4 years I've been able to talk.
Just take your time. We'll wait. We'll be patient.
My little brother, 25, he committed suicide. And he, my mom and my brother, my sister, was taken to the hospital because he had been showing signs of just odd behavior. And on their way, he jumped out of the car and jumped off of a bridge in front of all of them. And I was just glad to hear you all talking about this because this is so real in our community and with our young black men. And we need to talk about it more. If people don't need to be ashamed of it, I tell it to anybody who's willing to listen, because I think our young men are suffering. And I think one way, other than suicide, another form of suicide that they're acting it out, is by going to jail, by some of the things that they're out here doing. And I just wanted to say that. I listen to you every single day, even before you came on in the morning. But you come up with topics every day, and a lot of times I want to call. But today, I just wanted to call just to say that. And evidently, I just needed to get this out, because it happened 4 years ago, and I just haven't been able to talk about it like this. I'll tell people about it, just so they'll know. But as far as, I don't know. But it's something, when she said it devastates family, it does. It's something that it'll never go away.
Thank you for calling so much.
Now, Sheila, sweetheart, were you aware that he was depressed?
Nobody in my family was, but like she said, the signs were there. I live here in Atlanta, and my family live in another state. But he lived with my mom, and she could see it. But what could she do? I mean, she didn't know what to do. She just thought he was angry. He would have outbursts of anger, and then he would be fine. And then he would stay to himself a lot, and then he would be fine. And, you know, it's just, we think the straw that broke the camel's back was his relationship with his girlfriend of 7 years. They broke up. And when they broke up, she got a new boyfriend, and she became pregnant. And we just think, you know, there was no note left, so we don't know. And that's another thing that's so, so painful, is that you can go your whole life thinking and wondering every day, or any little thing will trigger it. You know, I wonder, was it that? Or you just don't know. But I think the signs were there. And if you listen to their friends, if you listen to people that they're around, after he passed, well, you know, his friends got to talking, and really all the signs were there. But of course, if we don't believe that mental illness is real, and if we don't believe that people are out here suffering mentally and emotionally, then you won't see it, or you won't reach out. And 9 times out of 10, they're not really going to reach out, not consciously. I think they do, but it's unconscious.
Well, you know, Sheila, don't. I pray that you and your family are not blaming yourselves, because you just, had you known, you would have done something to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't blame yourselves. And, you know, I am glad that you are talking today, because the way we heal from emotional pain is to begin to talk about it and to tell your story over and over and over again. And every time you tell it, you will be healed. It's a process of healing all the time. You know, it's like sometimes if we cut our hands or our arms, and you know, that pus gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Sheila, the only way, when pus gets in a wound, the only way it will heal is if you go to the doctor and they do what is called, they lance it, or they drain all of that pus out of that wound on your hand or your arm. Well, when we are hurting emotionally because we lost someone who has died, or any loss of a job, loss of a home, loss of a love in a relationship, the way you get the pus out of that is to talk about it.
I agree.
And the more you talk, the more that pus drains out of the pain, and eventually it does get better.
Dr. White, I feel better just calling, and I really do. I know I'm still emotional, but I do feel better. Just get it out, because I just want people to know, and it is okay, especially for us to say that mental illness is real.
Mm-hmm.
And until we admit that among ourselves in the Black community, I tell you, we've got a long way to go. We really, really do.
Gina, what would you like to say to Sheila?
I would like to say thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be talking about it. I talk about it. I don't care how uncomfortable people feel about it. Sometimes things have to be uncomfortable before they're changed. And I'm glad that I'm talking about it so that you can talk about it. And the more of us that are talking about it, the more light that'll go behind it, and the more that we'll be able to take care of this and see the statistics change. Because every time I see a baby, I say, I don't want that reality for that child, the same reality that my child is facing and all the children of today. And that as long as I have a voice, it will be talked about.
Shonda, what would you like to say to Sheila?
Well, first of all, I thank you, because this is why, you know, Gina and I have really been pushing to get this out, because as I said earlier, when you start talking about it, then everybody has a story. But it's not something, and I even talked about it last night at a cocktail party, and three people, oh, my roommate, oh, my friend did this, my brother. But she brought up...